Amen. It is a blessing to be in the house of prayer once again. I truly love standing before God's people and sharing of his goodness. Amen. I thank God for the opportunities that he gives me and to speak. I know I say this every Sunday, but I mean it every Sunday. Amen. I know people say, well, he always get up and say that, and I always mean it too. Amen. I mean, sometimes people just say stuff just to be saying it. I'm saying it because I mean it. Amen. It's real to me. Amen. Stand for the scripture reading. Luke chapter 10, verse 38-42. I have the King James Version. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. This reminds me of Sunday school lesson. They had many of those. That's things you can't find my old Sunday school books. That's what happens when you move. Things get misplaced. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Amen. For the readers, hearers, and doers of God's word. Amen. This is a familiar passage that we've heard many teachings on, heard Sunday school lessons on it. We've heard preachers preach on it, talk about it, whatever discussions about it. Some may say this is sister versus sister. This is, you know, busy versus being at the feet of Jesus. What I love about this passage of scripture is that when we read it, depending on how we are wired, and we all are wired differently, believe me, I like warm temperature. My wife like it more cooler. So we are wired differently. So we will relate either to Mary or Martha. That's just the way our makeup is. You will either find yourself relating to one or the other. And you will either think that in your mind, you would just say, man, Mary's, that's a lazy son of a gun. I mean, she's just sitting there. I mean, here it is, things need to be done. So you would, in your mind, you would say, or you would think Mary is not doing what she's supposed to be doing. She's lazy, and if she would help her sister, things would be done a lot faster. Or you would think that Mary is doing the right thing by paying attention to, Martha is doing the right thing, so I'm paying attention to the house guests, knowing that things need to be done, because when they get done talking and Jesus get done teaching, they're going to want to eat. So here's one thing I'm going to say. I grew up in a household with stepbrothers and sisters and things like that, so I saw some rivalry. I learned that sisters can be very similar, and then they can also be still very different. No matter how many times sisters may borrow one another's sweaters, she would never know when it was okay to take it without asking. And man, that's just something that they do. But the sisters might fight each other inside of the home. But when they're outside of the home, if you try to come between them, you in some trouble. Because one thing I'm gonna tell you, even though that they're at odds with each other in home because that sister borrowed a sweater without asking, it doesn't mean that they're at odds, you know, when another confrontation arrives. So that's just a minor situation that they can deal with. But if you try to come between them, there's going to be trouble in that city. So basically what you need to understand is that there's a lot that's going on in this particular scripture. So in our lesson today, you will see two sisters really who dare to be different. Okay? That's pretty much what I was learning, and what I've learned is that basically these two sisters have dared to be different. And let me just start by saying it started when Jesus came to Bethany to visit the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. The fact that Martha's name is first lets me know that that's her house. Okay? As just another way of saying her name is on the bills. Her name is on the mortgage. You know, her name was referenced first. So that lets me know that that's her property. So Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were Jesus' close friends for him to show up at their house. Now, Jesus had great love for their family, and it's clear from Luke's account that Jesus, you know, really made himself at home when he would arrive at their house. So he was just, you know, comfortable. You know, at this time in Jesus' ministry, I want you all to understand something now. Keep this in mind when I say two women dare to be different. Now, it depends on how you look at this story is what I'm trying to get you to understand. But at this time, it was very dangerous to associate closely with Jesus, especially around Jerusalem. There were many people who, number one, you need to understand, rejected his teaching, okay, and didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. So there was a lot of ridicule and physical danger for anyone who openly followed Jesus. The authorities were actually at this time seeking a way to kill Jesus. Okay, but here's what I say, dare to be different. This is what I like about Martha, because it didn't seem to bother her too much. Martha was brave. She welcomed Jesus into her home. She was willing to let the world know of her devotion to Jesus. Okay, so what I want you to understand here for a moment, just think about this. Can you imagine opening your front door to find Jesus and his disciples on the sidewalk chatting with each other? Can you imagine that for a moment? I mean, sometimes you got to visualize this thing. You got to picture it. Martha eagerly invited Jesus in and showed Jesus the kind of hospitality that throws the door wide open and serves the best she had. Now, when I say this, I want you to understand, when I say dare to be different, keep this in mind. A woman in that day and time should not be inviting a man into her home. Stop. Get your mind out of today. Get your mind wrapped in what they were going through at this time. That's how we need to understand something. You got to come out of today and go into this time. Because she really shouldn't have allowed Jesus to come into her home, but she dared to be different. I mean, it didn't matter to her. And see, here's the thing I like. Jesus always, always did what his Father had sent him to do. And as soon as Jesus entered the house, Jesus began teaching the great work for which he came into the world. How do we know this? Well, in verse 39, And she said, and she, being Martha, had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. So when Jesus came in, immediately he started teaching. It didn't take no time. But see, here's the other thing. Jesus allows Mary, an unmarried woman, to join in with the rest of his disciples as he teaches them. Jesus allowed Mary to sit down with his male disciples. In today's world, we would not think that as inappropriate. But in Jesus' time, that was unthinkable. Women did not sit down with men to learn anything. Okay? I'm trying to get y'all out of 2018 and put y'all into this time. These women dared to be different. Okay? So here it is. This woman, Mary, who shouldn't be in the room with these men, sat down at Jesus' feet listening to him. The culture norm was for women to serve. When men were in the home, Martha was doing what her culture of that time said was right. That's why she was in the kitchen. Because she's programmed to do what her culture has said for her to do at that time. That's what she was doing. But dare to be different. Mary did something that was not culturally acceptable. She sat at the feet of Jesus. Okay? And his disciples. So she was there. She sat at the feet of Jesus as a disciple. Again, in that society, women didn't do that. We can all learn from Mary and Martha. Depends on how you read the story and understand it. Because these two women dare to be different. Martha inviting Jesus into her home, that's different. That didn't happen in that day and time. She sat at the feet, Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. That's something that women were not accustomed to doing. And so Mary having the nerve to sit at Jesus' feet is a bold statement. Women of Mary and Martha's day were looked down upon. It ain't like today, y'all. Back then, they were not looked upon like women are looked upon today. They were not included in deep conversation, and they were never viewed as true disciples. Women's education was limited to learning, sewing, stuff like that. Weaving and cooking and looking after their smaller brothers and sisters. Never was it proper to sit at the feet of a rabbi. Okay? I'm just trying to get you all to understand something before I really go deep into it. Jesus called to discipleships. This is one of the things that I try to get people to understand. Don't get hung up on these pastors, these men who say that women shouldn't be preachers. Let me tell you something. The reason Jesus crossed the line as well, he crossed the traditional line because he allowed Mary to sit there. But see, what Jesus was really saying, that the kingdom of God is for both men and women. You see what I'm saying? He didn't use that male chauvinist society and saying, Mary, can you excuse yourself? You shouldn't even be in here. We're talking. You know your place, Mary. He did not say that. But see, here you have these male chauvinist pastors, ministers that won't allow women to come up in the pulpit and preach. And I can go toe-to-toe with them and say every time something went down, it was a woman had to get a man in line. Let me pause there because you can read it in the Bible. Because when the men were hiding, the women were seeking the Lord. They the one who preached the gospel that said he has risen. That was them. It wasn't a man. Read it. I mean, I didn't read a man did that. Who preached the first gospel? Actually, the woman at the well. Come see a man who told me about myself. Jesus is the gospel. She preached that when she said, come see a man. What are we doing today? Saying, come see. So, here's the dare to be different. Mary, she was willing to attempt the impossible. She had already seen how Jesus, again, had crossed the line by coming into her sister's home in the first place. Now she was seeing if Jesus would cross another line by allowing her to sit at his feet, and he did. She wanted to be a complete servant of Jesus. She wanted to be one of his disciples. She wanted to hear the word of God. In verse 40, it talks about, but Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister had left me to do all the work by myself? I'm just paraphrasing here a little bit. Tell her then to help me. Notice that, and here's what I like to look at, some of the things that's not said. Now, y'all know, and I'm saying this in a nice way. Y'all know women, y'all can go at it with each other. Can you imagine? Here it is. You know Mary heard her. That's what I want y'all to, okay, now you're chuckling because you know where I'm going with this. Y'all know Mary heard her. But you never heard Mary say anything back. Y'all, it ain't written. So, and obviously, there's a point here. It's hard for people to keep their mouth shut. Martha was going at her. But the hardest thing, and this is not just for female, this is just for everybody. The hardest thing is for man to tame that tongue. Because y'all know Mary heard her. You just going to sit there and let her just sit at your feet and I'm in here cooking and cleaning, doing all this stuff, preparing for you? I know Mary has something to say, but she didn't say anything. So Luke purposely doesn't, it sounds like to me that the focus was not on Mary. So he didn't record, or there was not anything to record, because that's not where the focus needed to be. Luke wants us to focus on basically not on what Mary, the words of Mary's mouth, but more on her actions. Mary sat there. See, sometimes you got to let the Lord speak for you. Mary sat there. And that's, I know that was hard. But Martha is described as distracted, worried, and bothered. And in verse 41, but the Lord answered her, you know, generally when you call somebody's name twice, you're trying to calm them down. Because if you say their name once, I mean, that's cool. But if you're saying, you know, like I remember when, you know, the preaching leads you into telling off on stuff. You don't want to do that. But, man, when you're up here, it's kind of like you got to tell the truth. You got to say it. But I remember when my cousins, all of us, was together, and we were getting ready to get after this guy who did something that to my cousin that we didn't like, female cousin that we didn't like. And, man, I'm going to tell you, boy, we were like, we were all in rage. And so, you know, and we were at the school playing, and the school wasn't too far from my grandmother's house, and next thing you know, your parents, aunts, they start coming up there. Now they up there. But my point is, here's where I'm going with this, is that the guy who we wanted to get came close to us. And then to get my brother's attention, his name had to be called several times because he was getting ready to do something. Jesus called Martha several times to calm her down. My brother's name had to be calmed several times before he took the bat and hit the guy. Right. What I'm saying is that Jesus, when you call somebody's name twice, generally it's because that person is in a rage. And I can imagine Martha is probably in a rage. You are Jesus said, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need only one thing, and Mary has chosen the better part. She's chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. I'm not going to take this away from her. So he said her name twice to calm her down, I believe. And I wish I could have heard more of the story, what was Martha's response, because you know when you check somebody, y'all know when you check somebody, they got to come back, they got something to say, they ain't going to sit there and let you just front them, you know, like that. Especially you in her house and you got company. You see what I'm saying? I wanted to know, I know Martha had to say something. There's no way in the world you telling me that a woman is going to just shut up and not say anything. But my point is, regardless, all I'm saying is that there's some Martha in all of us. We're busy, we're distracted about a lot of things. Focus is not there. I guarantee you, Martha wanted Jesus to tell Mary to get up from sitting at his feet and come help in preparation for this meal. Most of the men in that room probably said, yeah, she ain't supposed to be in here. You know, when she... But Jesus defended Mary by telling everyone in the room when he responded to Martha by saying, Mary has chosen what is better. So basically, that shut the guys up. And it also shuts Martha up. You see what I'm saying? So when Jesus responds, that's why you got to, when you respond, make sure it's the, see, the word of God is like a two-edged sword. It cut both of them. It cut all of them. Because he basically said he cut the men by basically saying she chose something better, which is to be here at the feet. So if they had anything to say, they don't have anything to say now because he just shut them up. Then that same sword cut Martha. That's why I said the word of God is like a double-edged sword. It'll get you going and it'll get you coming back. God, boy, y'all, ain't God's word good? Man, come on. I mean, when you read it, man, I'm telling you, man, it just does something to you. When I see people act out and see people do stuff, I'm like, that's confirmation right there. I mean, for real. I see people, I'm like, I read about that. Confirmation. So nowhere does the Bible even say, and here's the thing, sometimes we look at Martha as a bad person. Nowhere in the Bible does it says anything about Martha being a bad person. Nowhere does anyone describe that she is worthless or anything. First of all, keep in mind, this woman did something that was not normal in that day and time. First of all, she invited a man into her, not only just a man, but men into her home. That's different. That's saying a lot. How many of you have invited Jesus into your home? Don't answer that. But I'm just, that's an answer. That's a question that you need to answer yourself. So, but here's the thing. What we need to understand from this is that we all have different gifts and talents. If you put people in the room together, there's one thing I can tell you, there's a leader that's going to come out of that. Okay, not only that, is that you're going to, if a project was given to you all, this goes back to when I was in college, and before we graduated, we had to, our final exam was oral, okay? So therefore, we had a business that was given to us that they said, well, the first thing y'all can't do is shut it down. Y'all have to prepare it and make it operational again. And so therefore, what we learned in the class is that all of us had various different skill sets. Yeah, we got to arguing and fighting with each other. And I simply said within myself, I said, hey, hold up, time out, y'all. I said, we need to take a break. I said, I had to go there and I had to be real in what real was. I said, some of y'all need to go and do what you do to get yourself together. I don't care. Take a few minutes. We need to call a break and need to come back and do this again. The school board was loving it because we were arguing and fighting. However, it was under control. So what I'm saying is when you put a group of people together, gifts and talents will come out. So Martha had a talent that was for serving. Mary had a talent that was for listening to the word of God. Okay? When she hears the word of God, her demeanor immediately gravitates towards that. It's kind of like me. I'm a old school type of, I'm young, but I have an old spirit is what I hear a lot of older people say. When I hear older people talk, keep in mind, I can sit there and listen to them all day long because my spirit craves that wisdom. And the more I hear it, the more I enjoy it. And the more my spirit, my soul, just kind of grabs towards it. Now, other people may say, man, I ain't finna sit here and listen to a bunch of old people talk about this. But my spirit, my soul is different. It listens to the wisdom that is set before me. And I have to hear it. But don't condemn me because my spirit wants to hear it. Because it is what got me where I am today. Some people could care less about that. All they want is what they want when they want it. But see, here's the thing. Even the Bible talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It talks about, now there are diversities of gift, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. See, here's the thing. It's the same Spirit, but different gifts, different administration. Why are we fighting with each other? If I love to do something, then you shouldn't have a problem with that. If you love to do something, I shouldn't have a problem with that. We have to understand. And here's the thing. When you say stuff like that, people take things totally out of context. But the gifts, the talents, here's the thing. We got to figure out some kind of way to work together. You follow what I'm saying? We got to figure out some kind of way to work this thing together, work it out. These scriptures tell us our differences and all of our gifts is coming from the Holy Spirit. You would know that it does not discriminate by gender, but says there are different kinds of working, but in all them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So while you are condemning me, or while I may be condemning you, we have to understand you're condemning God. Because it's the same Spirit that is at work. God gives us different administration, different gifts, different talents. Martha's spirit shows itself in those who get mad and attack those who come to church not looking to be entertained. First of all, Mary wasn't looking to be entertained. Mary was looking and wanting to basically listen to her Lord and Savior. I could take this a lot of ways. But you remember Cain, he became angry that his best was rejected. It's the same anger and sense of injustice that we feel upon hearing that Martha's apparently was her thing that she was doing was, it was nice, but it was, in other words, rejected. And Martha not being happy, Cain not being happy because of the service that we chose or the gift that came out in us. Sometimes it's not the appropriate time. Martha was not so much, I would say, Martha was just misguided. She was just misguided. Mary was the better way at the time. So the priority sometimes is not in line right. See, in our society today, it is not popular for people to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. In other words, what is sitting at the feet of Jesus? I mean, coming to church. That's not the most popular thing in today's society. And that is sitting at the feet of Jesus. So you are and see, well, here's the thing. You are not losing time while you are feeding your soul. People think that there are, I mean, as I'm up here, you know, cars passing by. They should be in church. How many cars I can see going down West Main turning and driving? It's just, this is time for them to be in church. But here's the thing. It is not cool for people to be sitting at the feet. There's a lot of Marthas out there right now driving that should be here in the house of prayer. They chosen to be the Marthas today. And then there are some that chose to be the Marys today. When you spend time in Jesus' presence, when the season for work comes, you will work with a power and a result which empty people can never attain because they're too busy. Mary was filling up. She was listening, learning, feeding, edified, loving, and growing strong in the Lord. The engine of her soul was getting ready for study. You follow me? She was getting ready. Martha, on the other hand, was not. Martha was a worker. Mary was a worshiper. There's two differences. We please our Lord most when we learn to sit at his feet in love and worship before trying to serve him in our own strength. Sit down. Learn something. Surely, if they all are there, they're going to eat. Trust me. So we can become so busy with life's pursuit, even worthy Christian activities, that we do not hear the still small voice of God, because we can get so busy. Or sometimes we pursue God in spiritual spectators. But see, we need to learn something. Learning to listen to God's voice is one of the most important factors in our spiritual growth. And that's what Mary did. She learned to listen to God's voice. When we are silent before him in the enjoyment of his presence and his word, we gain his wisdom, his insight, and the renewal of our strength for daily living. See, it is my, by me sitting among the older people, it allowed me to gain wisdom and insight on the road that they were traveling. And that they were coming back. So what did that do for me? It allowed me to plan better for my future by listening to the older people. See, I didn't shun them away. I listened to what they said. So to be honest with you, this lesson I can also say is about choices. A lot of people, I guarantee you, not everybody is that busy. Many people just chose to stay at home and not be here. That is a choice. Martha made a choice to start cooking. She knew Jesus was in town. Let me tell you something. Yeah, they may not have had cell phones, pagers, or whatever, but she knew he was in town. She knew that Jesus was always over to the house. She knew that it's a possibility that he could come over. This should already been done. Y'all remember, y'all old school, y'all remember that you cooked on Saturday for Sunday. Am I right? See, that's that old school. You cooked on Saturday for Sunday. So when Sunday came, just in case a preacher may want to come over or stop by or pastor stop by, you had enough food already prepared for them. Mary and Martha were both wonderful women who represented two different approaches to good discipleship of Jesus. Mary stands for those who are students of the word, the hearers and learners who sit at Jesus' feet and passively absorb his teaching. Martha, on the other hand, stands for those who are doers. They get things done, and the thing to see is that both approaches are equally valid, but are needed in the church. But we need to prioritize our gifts and our talents and our time. We live in a society that wants us to conform to this world, but we are called by Christ to be different. And even if you're not a Christian yet, okay, even if you're not yet a Christian, there's a sense in which life is a struggle to conform. That's because you were never meant to live in a world like the one you find yourself in today. You were not created to live in a world that has the presence of sin, injustice, wrongdoing, and evil. That was never God's intention for us. And so we feel this pressure to conform to the world that is around us. Martha had too much going on. She was so busy, she had to ask Jesus to yell at her sister for sitting at the feet and not helping. Imagine the look on her face when he said, "Mary is doing the right and needful thing." "But I welcome you into my home, Jesus." That's not in there, but I'm just saying. That was the comeback that I could think of that could have been said. "But Jesus, I'm trying to cook for you, man. I'm trying to help you out." That didn't happen. When Martha welcomed Jesus into her home, let me tell you her nonverbals, her actions that was really saying to Jesus. When Martha welcomed Jesus into her home, she was telling him that her desire was to commune with him, to fellowship with him, to break bread with him, to sit at his feet just like her sister, and learn from him. This is the time, in other words, to lay aside every other thing. That's what she did when she invited him into her home. Y'all follow what I'm saying? That's what she did. She invited him to her home. That's what she was saying to Jesus by her actions. Life is about your priority system. What do you value? You will find time for what you love. Listen to what I'm saying. If I said to some people to do this, they'll say that they don't have time to do this. But if the question was asked differently to say, "Hey, why don't we do this then?" Then they would find time to do this because this is what they value. See what I'm saying? It depends on what you love. So you can say you don't have time. It's not that you don't have time. Let me translate that. I don't want to do that. That's what you're saying. It's not that you don't have time. It's just that you don't want to do it. Jesus was always busy. Y'all know times that he was on his way to heal and then he got stopped. He was always busy. He didn't say, "Hey, man, I ain't got time for that. Won't you check with some of the disciples and get on my schedule and I'll get back with you." No. He didn't do that. He didn't say, "Peter, hey, talk to him." You know, when I'm with, you know, some of the big shots at our jobs and stuff, you know, they don't really know the day-to-day operation of the stuff. I'm talking about what we do. So when somebody come up to them and ask them a question, you'd be like this, you know, I'd be trying to get away, and they'd be like, Ronnie. I'd be like, "What?" Because I know they don't know what they're getting ready to be asked. They're too high up. They don't know this other stuff down here. So I could have very easily, I know Jesus could have very easily said, "Hey, Peter, talk to him for a minute. We're on our way down to catch up with his ladies and let us know what's going on with that. We come back and try to work with him." Jesus was never too busy. He was always helping people. Let me say this. Problems were his priority. Today, we're coming up on Christmas. Christmas finds us in many places, stores, shops, online, bargaining, hunting, parties, family get-togethers, and all kind of fine goods. But will Christmas also be a time of, you know, us being at Jesus' feet? See, we don't think too much about our feet, do we? Until they start hurting us. Let me read this verse here for you. Luke chapter 8, 35. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man, all of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. I want y'all to keep this in mind as I get ready to kind of wind down. I want y'all to keep in mind the feet of Jesus. Keep that programming in your mind for a moment. And see, we really don't think too much about our feet. We really don't. I mean, unless you're going to get some pedicures and manicure, all of that type of stuff. But we pretty much take our feet for granted. That is usually, you know, sometimes the cause of trouble. You know, usually we start focusing on our feet when we get blisters or we get a corn on our toe or something like that, an ingrown toenail. And pretty much, though, we don't think too much about our feet. They are just there doing their job, helping us get through the day. We're glad we've got them, but we just don't think too much about them. We don't. I've been trying to, you know, think about the feet of Jesus. And I'm going to read this last chapter, this verse, and I'm going to go into what I'm going to about the feet of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 52 and 7, it says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that said unto Zion, thy God reigneth. When we talk about feet, we think literally, what are we really saying? What we have to understand here is that Mary chose to do something that was different in her day and time, and that was be at her Savior's feet. And that was listening to the ministry that Jesus had. Now, Mary didn't know all that those same feet that she was sitting would do a lot of things for her. She had no idea. And this is why Jesus said that she chose a good thing. Because she's sitting at my feet. So let me tell you about the feet of Jesus. These were the feet which, let's just back up. These were the feet that, which Mary played with while he was still in swaddling clothes. I don't know if this nursing rhyme was out back then, but you know how we used to say this little piggy went to the market and this little piggy stayed home and this little piggy had roast beets and this little piggy had none and this little piggy went wee, wee, wee all the way home. I don't know if Mary did that. I don't know. With Jesus' feet. But the feet of Jesus pitter-pattered around the carpenter shop. These feet carried him to the synagogue each Sunday to worship God. As a youngster, his feet were supposed to follow the family from the temple back home, but they stayed with the leaders. These were the feet that stepped into the Jordan River at his baptism. These were the feet that walked the dusty roads of Galilee and Judea as he ministered to his people. These were the feet that even walked on the surface of the water of the Sea of Galilee. These were the feet that were used to walking. They were tough feet. They were busy feet. These feet stood on the mount preaching, walked 1,000 miles helping, ran to the hurting. These same feet kicked over the tables of those who made his house a mockery. These feet shook off dust from places which rejected him, but moved on to another place. The feet of Jesus didn't run when his accusers approached him, but rather they walked up the hill of Calvary and were nailed to a cross. But in so being, those bruised feet heals, and they stomped on the head of the serpent for our victory. These same feet that Mary sat next to walked out of that tomb, walked the road of Emmaus with the disciples, and showed all his followers how they walked with him after his departure. Those same feet, the feet of Jesus, these same feet left the ground at his ascension, just as ours will at his return. Those glorious feet will once again touch down in the end zone of life on earth as he proclaims, "I'm back to set up my kingdom." These same feet that Mary was sitting at are the same feet that did wonders for us. The same feet that stood his ground when Satan dared to come against him. These same feet are the same feet that we are worshiping today. These same feet are the same feet that Mary anointed. Jesus did more than just talk good talk. Jesus did more than walk good walk. Jesus made things happen. Jesus established a priority system. So there's a reason why Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. These same feet done wonders for us. The same thing that it did for Mary and the disciples. He's the same God, the same feet. It's the same feet that's doing it for us. So it is important that we sit at the feet of Jesus. That's why it's important for us to be at the feet of Jesus. These same feet did wonders, walked miles, didn't complain, could have left, could have not went to Calvary, but they still marched on. Some of us, our feet would have said, "I ain't going there," but his feet marched on. The same feet. You know, one of Satan's tools is to keep us busy. And one of the things I'm going to say Satan does nowadays, because we have so much distraction, Satan can use cell phones. Keep us distracted. You ain't even in tune to what's going on. I see people walking and falling and tripping over stuff because they're not in tune to what's going on. You talking about distraction, Satan has doing a number on us. There's a bunch of Marthas walking around. We need some Marys in the house of prayer. We need some Marys that are going to be in tune to what is needed most. And what is needed most is hearing the word of God. I'm telling y'all, there's so many people that are so distracted by their phones. I mean, can't put it down. You would actually think it's glued to their hands. One lady got fired on that job because she couldn't put her phone down. That is no joke. She was let go. She couldn't put her phone down. In a meeting, scrolling with the president, she couldn't put her phone down. She got fired. She was busy. She wasn't doing anything. She was just looking. Couldn't take notes. Couldn't do a job. Her phone was in her hand. She couldn't let it go. It's an addiction. All right. It's busyness. All right. Satan, no, You know what? People can say Satan is dumb, stupid, all he wants to. Now when it comes to us, he's the most intelligent being I've ever seen. Why? Because he's doing the same thing he's been doing for centuries. Y'all know, here's where I'm going with this. Here's where I'm going with this. Y'all ever, you know, in school, I was very devilish. But, you know, doing stuff, you know, you tap people on the shoulder, they still, you tap them here, they still look there on that same shoulder, knowing that you're on the other side of them. That's what Satan does. He does the same thing, but we fall for the same trick. We fall for the same trick. I guarantee you all, if you do this week, tap somebody on the shoulder and be on the other side. Watch they look this way. That's because we fall for the same thing. That's what Satan does. He doesn't use anything creative. He just uses the same thing. Busyness to keep us distracted from God. All right. And so we chose, some of us have chosen to be a Martha. Busy. I could just see, just bring it to this day and age. Martha, instead of her being in the, because not most people cook nowadays. Everything is brought in or you go out. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is that picture it being 2018. Martha would have been on her cell phone in the other room. You see what I'm saying? She would have been in the other room on a cell phone. But Mary chosen what was the right thing. Martha had a sister called Mary, which also sat at the feet of Jesus and heard the word. Martha was busy serving in the kitchen, but little sis chose the better path, taking time to just sit and rest and learn timeless truth from the master. Martha could have had a Merry Christmas if she spent time with Jesus. I'm saying that to you all today. You could have a Merry Christmas if you spend time with Jesus. But some of us are just too busy that we forget about them. Y'all know any parents that, you know, they have a child and they forget all about the child. They're having a party. I've heard instances where something happened to the child and their parents are partying at their house. They forgot all about the child. Forgot the child was even there. I've read stories where the child got into the swimming pool and drowned. Why? Because the parents were too busy partying, having fun. One instance where the baby was on the bed and everybody put their coats on the bed and the coats was all on top of a baby and the baby suffocated. Too busy. We're not paying attention. And they were there to celebrate the baby. Then trying to figure out where the baby is. He's buried underneath clothes. We're so busy. Slow down. Look at the church. People are busy shopping, getting good deals, bargaining. Let me tell you something. This is the best bargain you can get. This is the best deal you can get. It's better than Black Friday. It's better than Cyber Monday. You ain't gonna get no better than this. This is the hookup of a lifetime. You can get 3-in-1. You can't beat that combination. You can't beat it. Amen. Open up the doors of the church. We extend an invitation to Christ. We're opening up the doors of the church. We're extending an invitation to Christ.
We're extending an invitation to Christ. The doors of the church is now open. Let us all stand as we get ready to dismiss. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and